All righty, here we go to get started officially. This is the MediaBids Power Hour. We are delighted to have all of you with us. This is a conference call for your success, to help you with your advertising sales, to help you with your website revenue, to help you with your publication advertisers and prospective advertisers. And that is the focus of what we've been doing, Jed, for nearly 6 years. What a journey it's been, correct?
Yep.
And every time we try to connect, we end up almost making it, but we do share some great pictures back and forth, don't we?
Right.
Jed and I have never met, but we've gotten oh so close.
Right.
But for all of you, seriously, we're glad that you're here. We encourage you to not multitask, shut off everything you possibly can, close your office doors, cell phones, Blackberries, laptops, email. Turn it off. Really invest in yourself. That's really the focus. We want you to absolutely take lots of notes. That is the single best and fastest way to learn and honors the best in adult learning principles, okay? Please also know that we'll be taking your real-time questions over the course of our meeting here today, and we'll tell you more about that as we progress. But, Jed, as always, I'd love you to say hello to the group, an introduction about MediaBids and the wonderful service that you provide for our clients and lots of your clients around the world. So tell us what's cooking at MediaBids.
Great. Well, thanks. First, I want to thank Ernest for really being the prime mover in these teleconferences. He brings an awful lot of knowledge to the table, and I always learn something every time I listen. MediaBids is a print advertising marketplace. We've been around for 11 years, and what we do is we help publications sell ads. We have about 17,000 advertisers that use our site. And we put them in front of the publications who are registered with us. There's no cost to register, and we've got a variety of different ways that we get advertisers into publications. But they're, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a good way to create another revenue stream for your publication. If you have any questions or want to learn more about it, you know, feel free to give me a call at any time, or send us an email, or visit MediaBids.com. Again, I want to thank Ernest, and thanks all of you for joining us.
And actually, for those who joined our call last month, we talked about print advertising results, what works and what doesn't. And, Jed, you were talking about the tracking of 274,000 inbound calls and results for those ads in the publications that you work with. So
Right. Just
so all of you know, this is an incredible engine of success that the advertisers are benefiting from, and the publications and those who work with MediaBids are benefiting from financially. So if you get an opportunity, please take a look at the MediaBids site. And Jed is a wonderful supporter and is able to make all of this work behind the scenes to benefit all of you. My name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I began in publishing in the mid-'80s. I've done this for two decades plus. I have run publications, owned publications, done mergers, acquisitions. I love publications. For the last 15 years, I've worked with more than 700 publications in 8 time zones around the world. We work by phone, by email, by conference call, just like this. We help you win. In addition to the coaching and the sales training and the work we do, we have a recruiting division. We have a search engine optimization team, so we know how to optimize your site and how to drive more revenue from it. If you're ever wondering about that, there's all kinds of calls that we've done related to that at the MediaBids site. We're more than happy to help you with that. Today we're going to be talking about a survey that was done by more than 2,500 small and medium-sized business owners that were asked specifically about media sales executives, okay? And they were asked specifically to tell us and to tell you exactly what is working and what is not working from a media selling and sales perspective. This is one of those unique opportunities that we don't have to wonder what they're thinking. They told us what they were thinking. And in February, we did part one. We covered the first 10 points, and we worked through questions such as, don't promise more than you can be delivered, do your homework, explain why your product is best, follow up when you say you will, be on top of your game, get to the point, my time is valuable, cut to the chase, and so forth. I'm just rattling through some of those that are there. And for some of you that are scrambling to make notes on that, please, this is one place that you make a note that says, go to the MediaBid website and go listen to it. Okay? There's no way to compact, and we're not intending to compact or compress a 60-minute call into 60 seconds or less, but it's there for you. Okay? Today is part two. Today is part two, and continuing down that thread, we're going to cover 11 key points, some that are closely tied, and Jed and I are going to banter related to those, and then we're also going to weave in the questions that were sent over to us in advance of this call. But we will also be accepting and receiving real-time questions. So any questions you have, you can just hit reply to the confirmation that got you here, you know, where the number was that got you here today, or just send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, okay? So if you have anything that you'd like to tuck in, and then about maybe 10 minutes or so before the top of the hour, we'll pause, we'll open up the call a little bit more informally, and we'll field some questions there as well, okay? So number one of 11. I was trying to pause Jed and think, let's see, do we start with 11 through 21 or do we go 1 through 11? That was some high mathematics there. number one, okay, know what you're selling. This is what your clients and prospects are saying about you and us. Know what you're selling. So think about this, okay? There's really four key areas to know. Okay, obviously, we need to know about our readers. Number two, about our website and our website activity. Number three, our editorial. For those of you, we realize some of you here today just have an advertising product. For example, an automotive publication, an apartment publication, real estate publication, new home sales, yada, yada. And others have an editorial component. Okay, so know that. And number four, certainly know about your publication and what makes it work. So let's kind of work through those one at a time, and then Jed will sort of give some additional play related to those. But our readers, we have to know, and we could take each of these points and literally go 30 minutes, okay? But we're going to just give you some laser points here. But some of the key pieces related to our readers is we have to know and want to know the buying power, okay? The buying power of our readers, the demographics and the psychographics. The single most important thing that you want to create in a sales presentation, a sales meeting, is what do you know about your readers? And it's something that, you know, seems so obvious, Jed, but it's not always readily available. We don't survey our readers directly. We don't survey them frequently enough, or we're not asking the questions that will really help us from a sales engine. So when I look at media kits and media presentations and media proposals, if you can't stop me in my tracks about the facts, you want to tell me that, you know, you're in the swimming pool biz and your buyers are all about swimming pools, I want to know that they buy $450 million in concrete or right. In swimming amenities, right?
Right.
Whatever that may be, you want to know that cold. And it seems so obvious, but honestly, it's not. So the demographics and psychographics of your readers and their buying seasonal trends and their buying velocity is what we call disruptive selling. Stop a prospect in their tracks. When they say, well, you know, that other publication is everywhere, and you say, that's interesting because 10 of the most important shows that reach your audience were the exclusive sponsor. Do you know that the publication A, B, and C is not there, can't be there? Long pause. Buyer goes, I have no idea. Okay, know your publication. Second point, your website. Need to know. There's a lot of meat here. We've done entire calls about the website, and we do a lot of coaching and training in this space. But your website, you have to know the stats on your website. You have to know your visitor counts. You have to know the number of page views. You want to know where they come in, where they go out. You might say, Ernest, this feels like a technology call, an IT call. Not even close. Okay, this is sales 101. And in the world of the web, you have to know and want to know what's cooking there. And then you have to frame it in a non-techie way. So you have to have all of the data, and then you have to boil it down into the most salient points that will help you win. Jed, you want to comment on website or readers as we're kind of rolling along here?
No, I think it's two excellent points. I mean, I think, you know, very often publication representatives make a lot of assumptions about the advertiser's understanding of who the readers are, and very often they misunderstand or they make certain assumptions that are incorrect based on their own personal reading habits. So I think, you know, being able to give them an insight into who your readers are, what they look like, where they live, where they work, how much they make, those types of things are all, you know, very valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes there's just subtle differences. You know, We reach, the buyers, but we reach the buyers in the oil and gas sector, which is one of the healthiest sectors. Or we reach the buyers that live in certain zip codes and have certain income levels, and we can show you the postal receipts that match up to that. We can show you the census reports that validate that. You know, I mean, every one of you have a story. It's how you position your own USP, your
right.
unique selling proposal. Jed, there was something else that I heard you wanted to add there.
I always like to comment on this whenever I have a chance. I mean, it's you know, a lot of publications sort of take, you know, surveys are somewhat pliable, right? And the results that you can get out of them, a lot of publications sort of take the opportunity to make their readership seem like nothing short of the Rockefellers and Donald Trump, right? I mean, but the truth is that there's nothing wrong with having a readership that doesn't earn in the top 2% of the country. I mean, I think it's more important to sort of give a straightforward analysis of who your readers are, because not every advertiser is looking for that kind of reader. And I think, though, oftentimes publications make the presumption that they need to, they need to be able to show that their readers are, to your example, spending millions of dollars on swimming pools a year. You know, it might be good enough to show that they're spending millions, spending thousands of dollars on mufflers, I mean, you might be able to get more muffler advertisers than swimming pool advertisers.
Sitting in these economic times, people
right.
are holding their cars for a longer and longer period of time. So what Jed is really saying is be the best at what you are and don't fabricate or don't puff up or don't apologize or don't feel like you're on your heels if your market is used cars in a suburb of St. Louis. That's fine. That's your market. Perfectly fine.
Right.
There's all kinds of ways to slice the world. And what we're saying to you is be the best at what you can be. You don't have to just focus on the 1%. Okay. Also, related to your editorial, I mean, know what makes you different. So often I'll be working with my clients on the editorial piece, and it's like, well, what is your USP? Well, we've got editorial. Well, we've got the best writers. Well, what does that mean? How about a bio of your writers? How about a bio of the unique vantage point or the unique view or the unique interviews? What is it that sets you apart editorially if you have that? What fits you best? How does that tie into the readers? Once again, we're back to your USP. You've got to really call that out. And so often in our advertising sales success, we skip over that or we don't have it specific enough in a way that a buyer can go, yeah, I get what you have. Let's talk quickly about ad size, ad results. You have to know. In fact, Jed, you did a beautiful job rattling along last month talking about ad size and ad success and placement and color. That was profound. I was on the edge of my seat, and I've done this for 2 decades.
So are you that?
Yes, you do.
I
need a little summary because I want to reread it again. It was so good. So if you would, that would be great. Jed was amazing, and I encourage all of you to go back and listen to the call from last month. It was fantastic. And the opening 10 or 15 minutes, you're going to hear information and data and stats you have never, ever heard. They are phenomenal. And there's no other place to get them or to hear about them aside from that, because these are internal proprietary evaluations, results, and the summary that Jed gave. That was profound. Another piece, though. Know and have in place ad testimonials. Also know the success that you're creating in a sector. So, for example, if you're a publication and you work with realtors and you work with mortgage brokers and title insurance and banks, know in those sectors how well you're doing. Be able to confidently say, to Mary, go call my advertiser on page 3, 6, and 7 of my publication. They're all doing sterling. Tom, pick up the publication and go look at the 3 competitors we just added who compete with you. Aren't those your competitors? Okay? Be able to fluidly, when we talk about know what you're selling, but know the marketplace. I was just working with a client in Calgary, Jed, and the owner, we were rattling along, and I'm calling out, hey, listen, I want all of you to win, and here's how it's going to work, and I don't ever want to hear publication A or publication B is succeeding. Owner said, I need to know something, Ernest. Every one of our meetings, you bring up the name of my direct competitors. Every single meeting. I want to know, where is that? Where do you have that written down? I started laughing, and I said, Michael, I said, I've got your competitors tattooed on my forehead. I said, I want you to win, but I want us to beat and exceed your competitors. I don't need every one of my clients around the world. I know who their top two competitors are, like the names of my own children. He says, you're serious, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Okay, he says, I want to acknowledge you. That really blows me away. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So know what you're selling. Let's talk about and shift gears. Number two, know my business and my competitors. So number two, our, the media buyer said, know my business and my competitors. If you don't, I won't buy from you. Okay, so there's two parts there. Know my business and my competition, just like I was sharing in that quick story with the group up in Calgary just from a little bit ago today. Okay, know the sector they're in. Know what's happening in their marketplace. Know what's happening in their world. And we'll share a little bit more about that a little later in today's call. But you have to know the competitors because they want to know that you understand their particular needs. And be comfortable and fluid to call out by name. And be able to say, yeah, we just added, you know, Mark's, you know, muffler shop. You know him, he's around the corner. And we just rolled in Tim, and he has the oil change over here. And you probably know Sarah. She's got the tire store. All of them are our advertisers. Call them out by name. Oh, and by the way, I'm meeting with Rita, who's got the auto insurance company. You probably know Rita as well. I mean, you have to be that fluid when you're working in a sector and you know information. Or how about, hey, listen, I'll see all of you at the Automotive Association tomorrow night for dinner. Will I see you there? Say to Tina or Terry or Mark. You know, so you have to know their world. Know what's happening in their sector. Know who's opening and closing businesses. Know what the economic trends are. Attend their association events. Read their trade publications. You have to get that close to a sector. And if you pause and say, Ernest, that feels like a lot of work. It does if you have none of it. And it is more work if you're doing some of it. But do you just want to come in and punch the clock? Do you just want to earn the mid-range, or do you want to be the best? Okay.
And that type of exercise, you know, I think is always the most fun part about selling, you know, because when you it's learning about the businesses that you're selling to and understanding what makes them work that really can differentiate one salesperson or publication from another.
Absolutely. When your clients say to you and your prospects say to you, hey, tell me the truth. Who really is giving discounts on muffler sales? Hey, tell me, what's going on? What is happening with my other, you know, competitors in the lube and tune or the insurance or whatever? In other words, when they start to come to you and want to know about industry trends, industry knowledge, you know, and it's a gentle balance. You know, someone calls me up and says, you know, hey, Ernest, what's going on with, you know, Mike's mufflers? I hear they're out of business. Well, I'm not going to be the purveyor of that. There's a gentle line, right, Jed, in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not gossiping. But you might say, hey, you know, I'm familiar with his biz, and, you know, listen, we, you know, preserve the confidentiality, you know, of all the work we do. But, I am aware that in the muffler sector, there are, you know, some companies are doing better than others. Boom, that's it. You respond without crossing that line, and you let them know. But in general, there's other trends. Wow, have you seen the new muffler that's coming through? Wow, what a big deal. Hey, am I going to see you at the dinner tomorrow night? I'm going to be presenting. Or how about our speaker is going to be presenting about the newest muffler? In other words, get that close. And think about your clients. And what I'd really love, as a quick step, think about. I'd like to have hear just a one sentence email, real time, and it just says, "Hey, Ernest, here's an example of something I know about my sector that I'm real proud of. I'm looking for sector knowledge." One line email, because I don't want to lose you here. Send a quick note describing one example of something you're proud of in the sector. Okay. Very important piece. Let's continue and go forward.
Now, Ernest, one quick
yes.
question on that. What?
Please.
How do you handle if you're representing a publication that's a little more general, you know, or maybe more geographic in focus as opposed to niche oriented?
You know, if you're niche oriented, it's easy. You have to be immersed. Okay. If you're more general, more of a general publication. Then it's my recommendation that you take a sector or two and you own that, okay? So I'm gonna own the real estate and the automotive, or I'm gonna own the home improvement and the, you know, fill in the blank, life improvement, whatever that might be. look for that. If you truly are selling across all of those sectors, that is more challenging, Jed.
Right.
If you're truly working across all of those sectors, it is more challenging. And it's a lot more work to know a little bit about a lot of sections. So then my coaching and advice on that is, okay, well, let's take the two sectors that drive most of your revenue or the two sectors that have the most potential, and let's just focus on them.
Right.
Okay? And just keep general knowledge on the other ones, okay? Let's weave in a question right here. Kathy sent a note. Said, how do we combat a decision-maker statement that due to the state of the economy, they are cutting back or cutting out their advertising? Couple of comments on that, Kathy. There has to be a compassion because we are in challenging economic times, but we don't want to buy that objection until we really understand. So it's some version of, you have to go down the darkest path. Hey, I'm just curious. Is it scorched earth? Have you removed every drop of advertising? And you can actually say, gently, I'm just wondering, are you going to be okay with your business? Because somebody that signals they're scorched earth, quite honestly, is not going to be in business. There is no way. You have to advertise. You have to market your business. End of story. Okay? What actually happens, though, when you go down the dark side is they get, well, no, but I'm really reducing your publication, or I'm really reducing, you know, my print, or I'm really reducing in this sector. Okay, tell me more. And you've got to really pull that out of them, okay? There's a whole piece we've done in prior calls about listen, write, isolate, and address. Okay, those are the four steps to handling objections. We've done entire calls related to that, and those four pieces are really key, but I never, ever, ever buy an objection on the surface value, and I could easily spend 15 minutes or more, Kathy, going down the path just related to is the state of the economy. Okay, all kinds of ways to navigate on that and through that, okay? All right, so Jed, let's circle back. Point number three today of 11, provide accurate projections of circulation and response. Okay, accurate projections of circulation and response. So the note here is you got to know it cold. This is your world. Whether we're talking about circulation or distribution, we realize some of you have paid circ or controlled circ, and other have free distribution. All three models have pros and cons. All have different cost models. You have to know it absolutely cold by pie chart, by percentage, by list, by demographics, by psychographics. Again, we've done entire one-hour calls related to this, so you're welcome to go back to the MediaBit archives of these that we talk about selling, distribution, and circulation. But you need to know it cold. You have to be able to handle it right there on the spot so that when someone says, well, how do I know, you know, you've got, you know, 40,000, you know, publications to go out. Well, here's my print invoice. Well, here's my postal receipt. Well, here are my distribution locations. What next do you want to talk about? Which is always followed with, gee, have you ever seen this from any other publication? And you're 99% of the time you're going to get some version of no, not in this lifetime. Good. Well, let's talk about it. Okay? So know it cold. Jed, any comments related to circulation and distribution before we go forward here?
No, I think that's, you know, I guess the, you know, the only thing I would add is that, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, the more you can know about your product, right, the better off you're going to be able to sell it. And, you know, and that includes something as simple as, you know, reading all the articles. So I think you're right on.
Absolutely. And that ties right into do not call and tell me that you know what my company does. Okay? Point number four, do not call and tell me that you know what my company does. You have got to earn that right. So let's give you three, four, five things related to that. Clearly, in today's day and age, you can surf their website, okay? Positively, surf LinkedIn and go see who you're meeting with, okay? Use Google, and there's a lot of different ways, but I like to take, here's some quick examples on that. I like to take their domain and pour it through Google and see what I can find. I like to take their name, put it in quotes, and the company outside of quotes, see what I can find. I like to take their phone number, surf again. I like to take a person's email address, surf again. You will be amazed at the things you find in each of those searches. Okay? And back to Jed's point, read their industry publications so you know what's going on. I mean, literally, whether it's electronic or in print, read it. Clip it out. Put it in their folder. Store it electronically. It doesn't matter, but stay current. Further to that, don't just utilize it just to sell, but pop over a URL. How many of you sent an email to a prospect in the last 30 days, a URL, FYI, I think you'll find this interesting. Okay? Show them that you care. Show them that it matters. All right? That's an important piece to do. And if you just use it for selling and not using it for developing relationships, you're missing the point. Okay? Number five. I don't know is a perfectly reasonable answer. Our buyers are saying, when you say, I don't know and I'll go find out, that's okay. That's okay. If we answer every single question with, yep, we have that. Yep, it's all set. Yep, we'll take care of that. Yep, we have. The person goes, how many yeses are you going to blow at me? How about just settling in and saying, you know, that's a great question. Let me write that down. Let me dig a little deeper. Now, you might say, Ernest, doesn't this contradict know your business cold? Yes, but sometimes a prospect may ask you a question that you're not prepared for or that you know you've never been asked. Cool. That's great. Be willing to say, could I take this offline and I'll come back to you with an email? Can I go over to my IT department and follow up on the velocity of inbound leads from our website? Can I go offsite and talk to my website team? Or can I follow back up if you're sitting face-to-face? Can I send an email as a follow-up to our meeting today? Let me address that. And if there are a couple things along the way you might say to Mary or Mike that I don't know, I'll go find out. Thanks. You're helping me be a better professional in my sector. Okay? So be willing to say that. And you might say, wow, you know, does that make me look weak? Or does that make me look like I'm not a sales pro? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Be willing to acknowledge. And guess what? It also gives you a reason to follow up with them. So if you're face-to-face, you've got some follow-up notes. And if you're by phone, you get a reason to maybe call them back later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. What a wonderful opportunity, Jed, to be able to follow up with that prospect.
Right.
You know? Thoughts related to this, I don't know, and I'll find out, Jed. Just in your years of buying and being in the sector, when you've had people come to sell for to you, for example.
Well, my impression, from a sales perspective is that, you know, most business people are pretty proud of their business, and they like nothing better than to talk about their business, which I think that if you're going to, you know, have a professional relationship with them, you have to sort of engage them in. You know, you have to engage them in the fact that their business is interesting. And most businesses are interesting. You know, you just have to, you know, even the most mundane businesses, when you scratch the surface a little bit, you find that they really are pretty interesting. And I've always had good success in just, you know, sort of engaging people in that kind of a conversation, understanding their business as much as I can. Because I find that when you're able to do that, then the answers become a lot clearer, and the objections become a lot easier to deal with, because you're understanding their perspective more, and you can really sort of cater something and cater your response to sort of fit their needs. And I think that, you know, overall advertisers appreciate that. It's hard to do because it requires a real, you know, sort of, you know, commitment to getting to know it. But I think the more you know it, the more fun it becomes, because you're really sort of solving problems as opposed to just trying to sell them.
Absolutely. And anytime you can solve the problems and you've got your advertisers and you've got your prospective advertisers coming to you that are asking for your advice, man, you know you're in the driver's seat.
Right. So in terms of, you know, being able to answer a question that, you know, that you're not that familiar with, I mean, I think it's as important to understand sort of why the question is being asked as much as it is the question itself, because it may sort of lead you to better understand what their perspective really is.
Absolutely, and that's right back to listen, write it down, isolate the objection, and then address it one by one. I mean, there's no shortcut for that. You know, you're really trying to identify what is specifically going on, you know, with that prospect or with that objection, and that once you understand it, then you can positively win from that perspective. Correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So let's continue. Point number six, okay? Media buyers said, be concise. All right? So our advice for you, be concise, be crisp, which also dovetails into disruptive selling. Disruptive selling is, how quickly can we cut to the chase, Can I have you pause and think about my publication differently or my competitors differently and have you engage with me? But precise also means, and to be concise means, you can't storytell. You can't, in the beginning of a presentation, do all of this rapport building, okay? For, you know, how's your weather today, and how's your spouse, and gee, that was a great football game last night. Look, there's a time and a place, but if anything, defer to less is more early on, okay? As the meeting progresses and as the meeting goes forward, you can weave more of that in. So often sales professionals in our space and in our sector will do all this rapport building, believing that's leading to sales, and we've got buyers saying, be concise, my time is valuable. Do some of it. Settle in. Chit-chat for a moment or two. We hung out with all of you in the opening couple of minutes. Jed and I chatting about the fact that we haven't met, you know, that we keep trying. We got very close in the last couple of weeks. But the reality is that you find that and you get back to biz. Be concise, all right? Don't wander. Don't overdo the rapport. Point number 7, be honest. Be honest. And this directly ties to a question that also came in, so we'll answer that in just a second. Be honest. Remember, you're working in a small industry, in a small sector. People talk. I don't care even if you're a global publication. You're working in a small sector. Advertisers know each other. Advertisers meet at conferences. Advertisers have worked for each other's companies or worked for that person. Oh, I'll call Mary up and see what's going on. Let me go check with Rita and see what's cooking. You know, what's going on with, you know, Jed's publication. So be very clean with the things that you say and present. If not, you will find your nose in a noose. That also goes to rate card discounting. Okay? If you've got a full page at $5,000 and one at $4,000 and one at $3,000, you've got a problem. Serious problem. And if I'm competing against you and I learn that, because I'm going to, and I'm going to put it right in my log and keep track that you're selling pages at 6 different rates, I can't wait to split open your publication. You are going to have a serious problem. And you're going to wake up one day on a Tuesday morning, you're going to get 10 phone calls from 10 full-page advertisers that are furious because I let them know that your pricing's all over the map. You have to sell from value and sell from consistency. This part about being honest is a huge point. Okay, a huge point. By the way, it's also a huge sales advantage on the other side. So we got a question that came in from Amanda who says, if we discount our rates in these tough economic times, are we lessening the value of the product? Well, the back part of the question answers it. It tells me that you have to sell from value, the value of your publication. And you have to do that very specifically. And for those of you that have joined calls over the years that we've done about selling from a media summary, selling from a media comparison, showing the value of your publication, that there is so much more to sell, tell, and share. And when you're doing that, then you've lessened and reduced or eliminated the question about rate because you've already presented your rate, the value, your cost per thousand, and how you stack up to those competitors. Okay? And when you're doing that, you don't have to discount. So it ties right back in to being honest here. Jed, a comment related to being concise and being honest?
I think that there's, you know, Ernest is right. I mean, there are few things sort of in the media world that are more frustrating than knowing that, you know, one set of advertisers is getting one price and another set is getting another, you know, because every advertiser believes that they should qualify for the lowest price. You know, daily newspapers have sort of done this for years and I'm not so sure that it does them a whole lot of good. So, you know, I think from the perspective of, you know, someone who deals with advertisers, I think Ernest is exactly right. You know, the more consistent and concise you can be, you know, the better off you're going to be.
Yep, absolutely. I passionately believe that our rate card is our rate card. We sell from integrity. There are no price discounts that do not include volume discounts, which mean if you buy for 3, 6, or 12 issues, or 4, 8, or 12, or if you're buying a full page versus a half versus a quarter, there's some merchandising of a rate card and the way you sell and present value and the way that you give your discounts there. But the moment you go, I am a huge believer of no rate card discounting, period. That might feel harsh, that might feel strong, but if you don't have the confidence to sell from that, then how will you have the confidence to really present from that? Okay? Very important piece. Let's talk about point number 8. Know my customers. This is interesting. Know my customers. I don't want to just advertise to anybody. It wastes my money. All right? So think about the psychology. Let's go back to the muffler example, Jed, that you started with. Who is in the marketplace for mufflers? What is the state of the economy, and why is it that people are, spending more and more money repairing their cars? How does that impact to the advertising guidance we're going to give to Mike's Muffler Shop, right?
Right.
Okay? So know the mindset and understand the mindset. And you pause and go, Ernest, how do I know? Well, start by asking. Ask Mike's Muffler, who are your typical customers? Who comes here? Why do they come for mufflers? Why are they doing more and more? Why is biz so good? You know, ask those questions and understand, okay? You also, this is another key piece, all right? Know the jargon, you know, of Mike's mufflers and some of the key things that Mike is doing. We talked earlier about reading the publications, following the trends, joining the association that Mike belongs to, the Muffler Association or the Automotive Repair Association. Join it so that you know what's going on. So you can say, gee, that was interesting, Mike. I saw an interesting article that muffler sales are up. Gee, there's a new muffler coming out. Gee, I see that there's new competition coming in from Taiwan. Tell me more. All of those things relate directly to you understanding their world. And if you don't know, ask. Okay? Ask. And the moment you say, Mike, I'm not clear. Why are, you know, people coming in and doing more mufflers repairs? And he slides you an article and says, here's the reason why. Here are the trends. You go to the next call and you go to talk to Rita Muffler or Rick's Muffler, and guess what? You got all that data at your fingertips. And obviously you take your own examples, no matter what sector you're in, but you have to know that kind of information. About 20 years ago, there was an incredible professional woman who worked for me. Her name was Teresa. And Teresa, Jed, would go out and survey her clients about pricing, about specials, about discounting, about, you know, their occupancy level. She created this unbelievable – when I first looked at it, she said, I'm going to be creating this market survey, and I'm going to get all the information from all my advertisers, and then I'm going to feed it back, but I'll strip away all of their names and their company names, and I'm going to show them a true market analysis. And I was like, oh, come on, Teresa, wow, that's the biggest – waste of time. Come on, we got to go sell something. Let's go sell an ad. She goes, no, Ernest, if I provide this, if I go into the market and do this analysis, she said, I'm like Switzerland. Everybody trusts me. And then when I feed the report back, you know, to everybody in the sector, because I've cloaked the company data, they get really, really great market data. And she was 100% right. People would call Jed, hey, it's budget season, Teresa. Hey, I need to go buy, 5 full pages, but I'm also in a big meeting with our owners. Can you send me over your market report?
Right.
She had the best information in the whole world for that little area. And she probably covered Jed like 4 or 5, little micro suburbs. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't even like a whole city and market. And she was like, the king and queen of the turf. Everybody loved her because she had all the, information.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, be honest. Know your customers. Let's talk about number 9. Understanding your numbers isn't everything. Service is. Service. The way that we service our advertisers. So let's think about that piece, okay? How do we service them? What kind of service frequency do we reach out by phone? Is that calendared in? How do we service them by email? Is it a newsletter that serves everyone? Is it one-to-one? How do we service them if it's FaceTime? You know, are they based in your area, or do you have more of a regional or a national or something geographic? How often do you service the buyer or the owner and then his or her other assets, other offices, other divisions, other departments? Okay? For those of you that work in, sort of automotive sectors, for example, you might be working in the corporate office and then you might be out seeing the dealers. For those of you in the apartment sector, you might be working with a property management company in a corporate office here, but they've got 20 different buildings with 5 or 10,000 apartments. You have to think about your sector. And then you have to think about, what does a service call look like? Jed, in my early publication days, we created something called a service frequency and a service checklist. Here's the frequency that we service our clients, and then here's the checklist, the 10 most important things every single time we go out and make a service call. Okay, and where we put notes and where we make notes, so that if I come back a month later, I've got all of those notes there. So service logs and service notes are incredibly helpful, keeping track of that. So remember, even though it's easy to serve the main decision maker or the main corporate office, never lose sight of the other silent decision makers and the others that are within that company. Flip side, we know from sales that you can work from the bottom up sometimes when you get stuck in the middle or you get stuck up top. So never lose sight of sort of the little guy that's out there. You can take biz from the ground up. You can go from the middle up or the middle down or from the top to the middle and down. All right? So if you feel like you're getting stonewalled in any one level, you can go up or down, sort of herd the sheep, and then be able to sell the whole account. Okay? So service matters. Number 10. Number 10 of 11, and then we'll pause and talk about how we'll open up our call and takes, and actually we have some questions that we can weave in here as well. So, Jed, number 10 of 11, be on time and be prepared. Be on time. Be prepared. I mean, Jed, if a meeting's at noon, we're there at quarter to 12, are we not? Sometimes in big cities I might be there at 11:30 sitting in the parking lot. I'm not going to go up until quarter till or 10 till, but I'm there on site, right?
Right.
You are as well. We all operate from the same way. The other side of that is if, in fact, the meeting's at noon and for whatever reason you are going to be late, call before you're late. There's just no excuse. I mean, it feels so, so basic. And with the advent of cell phones that we all take for granted in my early corporate days, there was no such thing as a cell phone. You had to pull over, find a pay phone. You had to put a dime in or a quarter, whatever it was, and you had to directly stop. Cell phones are making it so easy. There's no reason, no excuse to be late or to not call before you're late, okay? But my rule of thumb, 98% of the time means you're waiting for that meeting at 11:30 and you're ready to go for noon. And if it's obviously by phone, my gosh, forget it. That's easy. Just a little rule of thumb, though, because your time is valuable. The day before your meetings, send out a reminder note. Send out a reminder email. It says you're a pro. Hi, Mary. It's Ernest. I can't wait to see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I'll be at your office on 126 Main Street. Looking forward to it. I've got a fantastic presentation to bring you. Okay? If it's by phone, same thing. Hi, Jed. Looking forward to chatting with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I'll be calling you direct. See you attach some of the files that I want us to cover.
Right.
Okay? Now, there's more that goes in that, but, Jed, you get the drift. There's a note that goes back over that confirms whether we're meeting face-to-face or whether we're meeting by phone. Okay? So be on time. Be prepared. That's what our buyers are telling us. Okay? And this is interesting. Remember, the last point. Remember, you are not only selling a service, but you're also helping to drive my livelihood. Think about that. If people make good advertising decisions, their companies make more money, which means they make more profits, which means they can afford to pay for their employees, which means that their employees can pay, put food on their table and be able to provide for their family and their children, college educations, investing, and so forth, and likewise for the owner. Think about the magnitude of that. We do a lot of search engine optimization work for our clients. Over the last 12 months, we have generated $120 million in revenue, trackable revenue for our clients. I'm proud of that. And I can tell you that we're not doing it for their competitors. All right? So we know exactly the impact that we're making for our clients. Do you? And always recognize the magnitude of that. So when we go back to be concise, be honest, know your business goal, get to the point. All of those pieces tie right in here. Be proud of the work you do, but recognize that the power of advertising has a direct ability to put the foot on a gas pedal and floor it and accelerate. Our clients win when they work with us. But our clients win when we have the right fit. So if you've got the right fit for Mike's mufflers, you're in good shape. Okay? If you're trying to sell Mike's mufflers and you're though in the highest income zip codes and you're mailing to them or direct circulating to them, that's not going to fit. So focus on the things that you do really, really well. Okay? Jed, a comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really critical point, you know, because, I mean, so many times, I talk to sales representatives who are, who are not concerned about sort of how well their products will work for an advertiser. They're mostly just concerned about making the sale, and that's a, you know, it's a distinction which really is pretty transparent when you're sitting on the other end of the phone. So, you know, to the extent that you can, you know, you can really sort of treat it with as much respect as you can, and realize that, you know, it's real money that's going towards these ads, and you have an obligation to try to make it work as well as it can. That's another way to differentiate yourself from the salespeople who walk in and just ask someone if they want to buy an ad.
Absolutely. I take that right back to what I call my grandmother test. Would you sell that ad, Jed, to my grandmother? Okay, or would I sell it to my grandmother who owns a little sewing shop? Okay, what are the things that I would do that are the right things? I have a client in the Southeast, and we were talking about portioning out and setting aside in territories and so forth and defining it by zip code, and I said, this doesn't make sense. There's not enough opportunity for the advertising professionals in those zip codes. There's not enough saleability. There's really only, in this given marketplace, X number of opportunities here, and it's not making sense. You can go sell it, but it's not making sense. You have to press it against that. I know that we're talking about good old-fashioned, be honest, say what you're going to do, and deliver on that promise. But in the end, as you said, Jed, people are spending real money on our advertising. We need to do everything we can to make it work and make it work for them and help our clients succeed. And therefore, in summary, sleep really well at night and be really proud of what we've rolled out. Okay?
It also makes renewals a lot easier.
Amen.
It's one thing, you know, a slick salesperson can make that first sale, but it's getting the second one.
Right. And you know what's even tougher? Going back and reselling someone who's now a past advertiser because we didn't get it done. Whoa. That's like a triple sale. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, very good. So we're going to pause here. We've got about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to formally complete our program, and then with a little cooperation, we'll explain that in a minute. We'll informally open it up and field some questions until right at the top of the hour or so. Okay? So, Jed, how about some closing words before we finish up here?
Well, once again, Ernest has proven that he brings the vast majority of the knowledge to these calls. So thanks, Ernest, for your insights and guidance in this. And hopefully everyone on the call enjoyed it. And we appreciate your participation.
Jed, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words, but I really appreciate our interaction, the work that we do behind the scenes to make these, and, of course, the sponsorship and collaboration that we create here together. We've done it for a long time. It really is a pleasure for all of you. We hope that this has been very helpful. Everything that we do is to focus on helping advertising sales professionals, publications, website sales, all of those things. You can hear it today and in all the calls that we've ever done. These are monthly calls that I have hosted for the last 15 years. I love helping professionals like yourself win in this space, okay? So I'm going to formally pause our call, and then Jed will come back and talk about how to open it up, okay?
Great.